All right, welcome to Guitar Talk. I'm your host, Jimmy Warren, bundled up because I'm outside of Chicago at the Guitar Talk Studios where it is absolutely freezing. We've had some days where it has felt like it is minus 45. I mean, I can tell you this, man, minus 45, minus 10, it's friggin' cold. You know what? But today, the temperature actually got up to around 16. I think it was, where it felt like it was only 5 or something crazy like that, and it felt like a heat storm. I was actually able to get some things done outside. I got my lawn mowed, you know, I milked the cows, I did all the things that I would normally not do since I don't do any of that normally at all. But we've got a great show in store for you today. You know, my guest is a returning figure here at Guitar Talk, Ariel Posen. One of my favorite players. I think he's an excellent songwriter. I think he's an excellent guitar player. I think that his phrasing and his melodies and what he puts into a song, you know, is par none. He's really, really good. And so I had an opportunity to sit down with Ariel once again to talk what's going on in his life because he's on tour, got an album, the whole nine yards. You know how that goes. And so I want to do my part to help him spread the news so that you know what the heck's going on with Ariel Posen. So do yourself a favor, sit down, put your feet up, get a nice cool beverage, even though it's minus 45, and enjoy this conversation with the one and only Ariel Posen.
Hello.
Hey, Ariel. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Real good, real good. It's good to see you again. Probably don't remember me, but that's okay.
I feel like our last one was just on the phone, so we didn't actually see face to face.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have you back on Guitar Talk. And I got to tell you, you know, I hate to be that guy, but I'm a fan of your music, of course, and definitely a fan of your guitar playing. And the last time we spoke, you know, we talked about, you know, a lot about your guitar playing. But one thing that I've noticed about the new album, Reasons Why, is like the songs are just amazing. It's like you can tell that there was just a lot of thought and a lot of effort put into creating great songs. And so, and there's less guitar, you know, in this album than there was before. In that, is there a switch going on, you know, with you, you know, from, you know, having the guitar kind of out there a little bit more to, you know, starting to focus more on the songwriting itself?
No, I mean, first of all, thank you. That's very kind. I am like trying to, you know, first and foremost, I just would love to be able, you know, want to write a good song, and everything else is secondary after that. But I mean, there was just as much attention and display of guitar stuff as the last couple records. Maybe the only difference is there's no song with a stretched out solo of any kind. I haven't really done that since the first record, Forget You Back, that song. So in my mind, and based on experience, there actually wasn't that much less guitar stuff than Headway. I think it's just how it's placed. Maybe is making it pop out at certain times in a different way than making you notice that it's there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well,
regardless, that's great.
The structure of the song, it seems like, you know, I think as time goes on, artists begin to think more about the song than other aspects. Like for instance, you know, most guitar players think of the guitar. Right. They think of their guitar playing and what they can put in and, you know, how that comes across and this and that. And it seems like the farther somebody gets down the road, in a lot of cases, it becomes more about the song than anything else, which it should be all along. Right.
Yeah, it really depends on the style of music you're making. I mean, guitar, there's guitar music and instrumental music, which is focused around the guitar or like any other instrument, and you know, that's totally fine. I'm just going for the approach where it's there. It's definitely the tool for, outside of singing and lyrics, it's like my number one tool of expression for sure. But it's there to support. It's there. It's what I know how to do, but I wanted to just support. It's just one piece of the puzzle, essentially,
Right,
you
right.
know?
So in comparison, from your standpoint, from your previous recordings to this one right here, Reasons Why, what's different to you? What was different in the process? And what do you think, you want people to feel about it differently than your other projects?
Well, I don't know that I want people to feel differently. I just want people to feel whatever they feel.
I'm getting nowhere
And
here, real.
no, it's a great question. Let me finish. The songs should resonate with people, or this or that should resonate with people in any way they want. So I like to leave that up to the people. And like once the album's out, it's not really my record anymore. It's everyone else's. So I'd rather leave it up to everyone else to decide what hits them, you know? But in terms of the process and the recording, it was very much the same. I mean, I make my records the same, you know. We do it in layers, and we do it in a way that's fairly conventional and like fairly efficient. So that wasn't anything different. I guess the biggest thing for this record is that it was written during lockdown times, and because of, myself and a bunch of other people, everyone being at home and being so available, I was able to just write so much on my own. I was able to write so much with friends of mine and collaborate. And I feel like I hit my, like, one of the most creative times of my life because I was just, that was the routine. I wasn't traveling for tours. I wasn't doing this. I wasn't doing that. I could just focus on creating, and it was like the best because I can't really do that when I'm busy with tours. You know, we've been touring basically not off and on since August for this new record, and when I'm home, just for a week in between or even 2 weeks, like I just don't have it in me to write. So I haven't really had that creative burst since then. I will definitely be getting back into it this coming year, but I think that was the biggest difference. I had the most time, and I was able to write them. I was able to put together like the biggest collection of songs I've had yet to choose from, as opposed to the last couple records where, I had a few songs to choose from that didn't make the cut, but this time I had like triple the amount of songs, you know?
Well, it feels like sometimes that the first couple of albums that a band or an artist puts out, in a lot of cases turns out to be their best albums, right? The most iconic albums for a lot of bands are those first couple because they've got all those previous years before, that they're developing and they're writing and this and that. And then you get to a place to where, like you say, you're on the road, or maybe you got pressure from a label, get in the studio, you got 2 weeks to make an album kind of thing, So to be able to have that kind of time to create in it. So what do you think the answer is though, for a guy like you? What do you do now? I mean, now that COVID's not here, and now you're in that routine of touring and, in that. What do you got to do in order to separate yourself so you can find the time to be able to, just unwind and write?
It's just a matter of scheduling it in. I knew that this back half, this second half of 2023 was going to be pretty full on with traveling and touring and stuff like that. And that's great. I love to do that. And that was the whole plan from ages ago. But it's just a matter of scheduling it in. So to get to a point where I can get into like a bit of a routine with that again. And basically just going from there, trying to be consistent, trying to like keep it going, and that's the majority of it, I'd say. So beginning of next year, I'll for sure we definitely have a little bit of touring, but not enough where I can't carve out some pieces of time to set aside for some more writing.
And where do you take your inspiration, Ariel, for your songs? I mean, where does that come from?
Well, it comes from my own experience, comes from my own feelings. But this last record was the first time I think I really dove into other people's experiences, like people I know that have just told me their story, or friend, or good friends of mine who's I'm aware of their life and their story, and it was just very interesting to me. And I don't know, sometimes combine them together to formulate an idea in my head. So a little bit of fictional, a little bit of autobiographical and non-autobiographical. I'd say though, like 90% of the time, it's my own experience, though, absolutely.
And so also God, I'm sorry, man.
Go ahead.
I had a question and it just like went
Oh, I
off.
hate that. I hate that. That happens to me all the time. It'll come back.
Yeah, it will come back at some point. But this album, I guess in the beginning of our conversation, I was thinking of that piece of work that you did where it was just you and the guitar.
Oh, Mile End.
And how beautiful that whole friggin', piece of work was. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I made the comment about guitar versus, all that other stuff. But anyway, that's where I was thinking, because your playing is what attracted me to you, as a guitar player myself and somebody who absolutely loves the guitar. But when I dive into you, especially with this new album, I mean, there's so many elements of this album that just really, grab somebody in that. I mean, I'm guessing that that's what you planned. I mean, you wanted to people to just kind of just, dive into this thing or be drawn into it or.
I think that's what everyone wants when they're
Yeah.
putting together a record. You want, yeah, you want people to dive into it, of course. But first, if you get someone to dive into it, you got to make them aware that they should dive into it. So yeah, if it means doing whatever you need to do to like show people that that's what's going on, get them going. But like, I don't know. I mean, I still love like a listening experience. I'm still very old school in that fact. I like to listen to a record front to back. I know we live in a time with less patience, and yeah, there's not a lot of time for that anymore. People have short attention spans, So I'm still into that. I really believe in like, I don't know, substance. And being genuine and honest with it, and not just trying to make something that's, not fo necessarily following popular trends, but just being your own thing and just being honest and genuine. It's all you can do that's like literally the most important, I think, as an artist. And that's just what drives me, really, is to just try to keep being original, keep trying to like have your own voice and do your thing, whatever that is. And yeah, whether people like it or not, I mean, it's just about what it's art, so it's like your own expression. And I think if more people got less caught up with what people think they're gonna like, what they think people will like, we'd see a lot more of it too, And we do
It
see a lot of it, don't get me wrong, but I think we'd see more.
right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of talented people out there writing great music, but there are a lot of people that write just specifically because they're trying to, fit a mold or fit a schedule or, trying to get people to, feel a certain way, and they're not authentic. And this comes across really, really authentic. So would you say that this album is, I mean, like deeply ingrained in you? It's like it's an authentic,
Every record of mine is deeply ingrained in me. I've never made a record that wasn't genuine or honest. So, I will say, yes, it is deeply ingrained, just like all my other records. But every time I make a record too, I can't help it but think like, okay, I don't cringe when I listen to my previous record, but I'm like, you know what? As an artist, you want to keep evolving, and you always want to feel like you're improving. And I do feel like it's some of my best songs yet. And I might look at this record 5 years from now and then go, it's okay. Like we'll always kind of have this. But right now, and I think I will always feel the same about these songs. I just feel very strong about them, and I feel like they're good songs. And I don't like comparing to my previous work, but if I had to, yeah, I think it is better. But records and songs and art, you know, it's like they're little time stamps and they remind you
Right.
of kind of where you were at that time. So, you know, a big trend we see now, and I've talked about this a lot, is especially on streaming services and DSPs, you know, same thing, but people are like deleting their back catalog and they just want to show what's the current stuff is. They do it on their social media accounts too. They scrub everything pre 2 years ago. They don't like, they just want to like put that behind. And you know, there's some things it doesn't, I'm not against cleaning the thing up, but the feed up, but with your albums and your music, like your discography, I think it's weird because it's like those are important time capsules. Those are a part of your journey to bring you to where you are now. And you know, everyone's their own artist, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that because everyone's allowed to do what they want, and that's the best part about being an independent artist. But I like seeing a band and an artist. I like hearing the journey. I like hearing how something has just like evolved because you need to know where it started to kind of understand where it's at now. It gives you a lot more perspective.
Do you think sometimes, though, that with what you're saying, gets caught up in the whole numbers thing when it comes to social media or Spotify or something like that? Meaning, okay, you put an album out 2 years ago, and okay, that album had, 20,000 people listen, to a couple of the songs on it, and the new one that you've got now has, a 500,000 people listening to it. And so, do you think that maybe sometimes that's the reason that it gets scrubbed too, is because, because that's such a huge
Absolutely.
thing now?
Yeah. 100%. I mean, we unfortunately live in this like comparative phase where, and we also get like this dopamine from likes and streams and numbers. So it's like if you're not getting that and you're seeing that like your pal or your whoever else is who you consider yourself to be at a similar level of is getting way higher numbers, that's going to make you feel shitty about yourself. And you know, it's easier said than done to just go, oh, don't compare. Like, you don't have to do that. You know, you're your own person, and the only person you should be comparing to is yourself, and blah, blah, blah. It's so much easier said than done. You just have to, I think everyone just needs to find ways. And again, it's not easy, but you have to just find ways to kind of push that out and remind yourself that you're not those people. Like, you have your own path. Everyone's on their own path. First, you should just, you know, be grateful and find gratitude for like what your current situation is and your own wins and your own, you know, focus on that. Yeah, that's why I say like comparing to your previous catalogs and stuff like that, I think that's fair because you always want to, if you care, you want to keep improving, you want to keep growing. And just because you're comparing to yourself doesn't mean it's like you're not comparing to anyone else except your own journey. And even so, by comparing to yourself, oh, your new record doesn't do as well, you know, do as well as in like, oh, maybe it didn't get as many streams. Oh, it's not getting as much traction. Does that mean it's really a lesser record? If it still means a lot to you, that record, then that's not what it means. You have to like separate the art and like the time and energy and blood, sweat, and tears that went into it, and separate it from like numbers. Because majority of numbers too, you have to keep in mind, are like algorithmically based. So much of it isn't like real people even. Sometimes, you know, a couple special keywords in your post, and like these social media sites are gonna like kind of hide your posts too. So there's so much going on that it's just not even fair to be down on yourself about that because, you know, one of these days, maybe it's all going to be gone. We're not going to have this anymore. We're going to go back to tour posters and word of mouth. Who knows? Who knows, really?
That would
But just
actually be
like,
nice.
so just like, I don't know. I think all that matters is focusing on great art and just being happy while doing it, you know?
I mean, I completely 100% agree with you, and everything you just said there was really cool. But the problem is, and you've touched on it in this conversation, is the comparison. People see the other numbers, they see what other people are doing, and then they go out and they do something stupid, like pay somebody to fraudulently put numbers on their burger. You know what I mean? Or they go crazy. I personally feel, and I'm kind of curious as to what you think about this. I personally feel that if those sites, like let's say Spotify, didn't show the numbers at all. Music was just music. Albums were just albums, you know, and you based everything off of like what you're saying, the quality or the, you know, the quality of the music in that, as opposed to going, oh my God, look, this album had 2 million streams. How do I get my album to have that? I think it would be better. And you could still have those numbers in the back end for an artist and the artist management and stuff, distribution in that to be able to see, so you can gauge how you're going to market yourself and so forth like that. But to remove those numbers in the front, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I wish we could do that. I mean, Apple Music doesn't show
Right.
numbers, I believe.
Right.
I think a few of the other ones don't show no streams either.
Right. It's just
I
Spotify.
mean, it'd be nice if we did that for everything, for
Yeah.
YouTube, for Facebook, but like, you know what? There's currency in that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And buyers, promoters, labels, everyone looks at that kind of stuff to see, because that's kind of the currency. That's the gauge of. I keep putting quotations up that no one's going to be able to see, but for you, you know, it's like that tells people where someone's at. Unfortunately, some just because there might be a lot of them, a lot of likes, a lot of this, a lot of that. That makes people kind of generally look in that direction, as opposed to the millions of others with just a few likes or
Right.
not a lot of traction, even though they're like probably missing out on so much music. And you know, those people have to work harder to find like the right place at the right time to get that right person to hear them or see a video or see something that blows up. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to change it. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it too, though, is that sometimes those numbers don't actually reflect, I don't think, accurately the position of a band. Like for instance,
Right.
somebody might have 1 million streams on a song or on a couple of songs, but they can't go 3 hours away from their house or 500 miles away from their house and sell out a 300 seat room. Right? Simply because they have good numbers on social media, or I mean, it doesn't always, correlate to, great, opportunities when it comes to touring and, doing shows and having popularity in Albuquerque when you're from New York,
Yeah.
don't you think? Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
I hate Spotify. I just do. I there's something about it, man, that's just irritating. It's a necessary evil, and I understand it in that. But anyway.
My wife and I were talking about it because like as a user of Spotify, you know, their algorithm is actually so good for discovering music. Like you could listen to one song that you like or you stumbled upon, and if you just let it keep going, it's going to feed you more very similar in that same kind of style of that song, and you're probably going to discover new artists that you're going to fall in love with if you give it a chance.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I do think the exposure is better than it's ever been for that regard. I'm not even talking about the playlists, like these editorial playlists, which is just modern day versions of radio essentially, because you're getting it might pad your numbers, but it's a lot of just passive listeners that won't necessarily turn into fans. It just kind of stacks your stream numbers. So I think like as a user, there's a lot of good stuff, but yeah, as how they pay artists, how they treat artists and stuff like
Yeah.
that, it's obviously there needs to be regulations on streaming. And I think that'll happen one day, but for some reason it's not. Well, I guess there's a
Yeah.
lot of other shit going on, but it's not priority.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just curious, when I just really wanted your input on some of that. I like to hear what people like you think about that and feel about that, because it affects you, and it affects every other artist that's out there trying to make music as well. So.
I'd say we're all in the same boat. Like, I really don't know
Yeah.
anybody that doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah.
You'd think with so many people feeling the same way, we try to do something about it. Can't
Be an
really go on
uprising.
strike like the actors or like the writers, you know?
A Spotify strike. There you go. There you go. So let's go back to the album a little bit, because I'm curious a little bit more about, on this album, what would you say is, your favorite part of it personally as the artist? I mean, what song or songs on there have the most meaning to you? I know they all have meaning, but which ones are like just really near and dear?
I always really struggle with these kind of questions because, like you said, they're all kind of important and they all have different relevance in the
Right.
topic that they're about. I mean, those 10 songs are on the record. I had 30 songs that I wrote. And I mean, this is the only way I can really justify my answer is like I had 30 songs. And 10 of them were just the most meaningful and
Yeah.
relatable and honest, and those were the winners. Just plainly because, not even because it had a cool this or a cool guitar thing or it had a great melody. It was like these songs just, I don't know, they speak to me, they hit, they ring true. And I could just keep listening to them over and over at that time, and I wouldn't, get sick of them. Like, I'm not saying I listen to go around listening to my own music, but just like in the writing and preparing phase, there's so much, like, for me at least, I'm demoing, I'm listening, I'm which one is holding up, which one, I don't think this one really holds up, and there's a lot of that. And those 10 were really the ones that, yeah, were the strongest for me.
Now,
So I mean, my favorite part of the record, I don't know. I mean, again, it's a cop-out answer, but every process of making a record for me is special, from the initial beginnings of like pre-production and me demoing songs and figuring out which ones are going to make it to actually tracking, and then after that, piecing everything together and stuff changes and you adjust this and you adjust that, and then you get to mixing, and that's a whole other. I have a huge love and hate relationship with mixing. I just wish it could sound exactly like. I really should just learn how to mix my own stuff because I struggle so hard. We eventually get to where it needs to be, but there's definitely been times where I just could not fully communicate what I wanted, or other people that were in on it also didn't help to kind of see the full vision. And there are some times I look back, I'm like, I wish I could have a mulligan on this one, but it's all like a rewarding thing. It's like when you care deeply about it, you just want it to be exactly how you hear it in your head. And yeah, love it or hate it, like the process, it is a special part of it. And I do enjoy all that stuff.
Well, I gotta tell you, man, you were just level-headed when it comes to, the topic of your music, and that you seem to have really thought through, who you are and what you're doing, and the way that you present yourself is just so measured. And just so relaxed. And because I've done over 500 interviews. I mean, I've interviewed, some of the top players all around the world, and everybody approaches writing a song completely differently. I mean, there's some similarities, but everybody, and you'd be surprised how many people, put stuff out simply because it's commercially fitting, or whatever the reasons may be. But I do wonder, how do you write the song? I mean, do you come up with a melody? Is it a guitar riff? Is it a chord structure? Is it just, is it lyrically? How are the songs created for you?
It's 90% of the time like a musical thing. So I'll kind of have a chord progression, or I'll have some kind of melody, or some kind of, yeah, like it is a guitar thing. That's what I play. That's what I write on, The other 10% will be like a lyric or something like that. and I might not know what it means, or I might know exactly what I'm referring to, and then it's a matter of kind of piecing it together with that. So it's usually like a, yeah, it's usually a musical thing that starts it, and we just go from there.
Yeah. Does it come easy for you?
Yes and no. Again, like I think if you can get into that routine, songwriting's like going to the gym, and or at least it is for me. I won't speak for everybody else, but once you kind of get into the zone of like constantly writing and doing a lot of that, you begin to just have the thought. It's a part of your brain that you're using in a different way. You're thinking of stories, you're thinking of metaphors, you're thinking of all these elements. And the more you do it's easier. I struggle when I haven't written anything for like a month or two, and I have to come back cold, and I'm just like, I don't know what I want to say. You know, musically, that's pretty easy. I can just write instrumental arrangements all day. That's really what comes naturally. And lyrics do come natural too, but for them to mean something and be genuine and, like, in my opinion, be good, it just takes so much more attention to detail, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, the album, is really good, Ariel. It is. It's very, very good. And not
Thank
only
you.
is, and I've been a fan of your music, and I'm definitely a fan of your guitar playing, and I wish you all the success in the world. And I thank
Thank
you
you.
for my stumbling through this one. And I really appreciate your
Not at
time.
all. This is great.
I do.
Awesome.
Yeah, good luck, and I wish you and your family a great holiday.
Thanks so much, man. You as well. Thanks again for having me. It was really nice to catch up with you again.
All right. Ariel, take care, buddy.
All the best.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ariel Posen. Once again, I got to thank him so much for participating in this episode. Do yourself a favor, follow him on social media, go see him when he plays live. Make sure you're streaming and buying and purchasing, his merchandise and his music. Support live music, support the music of today, man. There's so many artists that could use that help. And well, there you go. I think that it was a great show, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in that. And until next Wednesday, I'm Jimmy Warren. Thank you, and we'll see you right back here in my studio then. Take care.